Welcome, everyone. Where's my cool new... I haven't cool new sound effect that... it's like a little palate cleanser, you know? Oh, here we go.
Who are you to resist it, huh?
There we go. We're a little bit prepared. This is Eat My Shorts, a Simpsons podcast. We're a little bit prepared.
Various changes from the last episode.
Yeah. Seriously, this is a whole new format. It's a whole new thing, but with the same... heart and soul. I would say the heart is the Simpsons and the soul is us, the cool hosts. Yeah. I'm Nacho Nova. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Very different, but also very familiar, Irvin Castellanos.
Mm-hmm.
Eat My Shorts, the global podcast.
We are, in a way, if you think about it, like global citizens. Although we are ambassadors for Texas, when travel resumes, we will be looking forward to going to each of your countries, doing a live show, wearing Super Texas stuff, and doing Super Texas stuff.
Yeah, when flights resume, I look forward to returning to Texas because I'm currently in Paris.
It's true. You know, as you can see, we're both in different places in France. Viewers are getting the full experience. And it's good to see, well, I was going to say see, but it's we are seeing virtual audience. They're all on like screens right now, but it's good to have you all here. Breaking off another 100 episodes with something that we've been looking forward to doing for a long time. I would say probably for... How long has this show been going? 2 years? 3 years?
Yeah.
Damn.
Almost three.
Yeah.
Coming up on 3 years in April, on April 20th.
And thank you all. The ratings are in. Eat My Shorts episode 100 was a big success, and we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. And Irvin, I would like to thank you as well. That was a wonderful song. I wanted to purposely not hear any of that stuff until I was putting it together at the last minute. So that's why it took so long to receive feedback.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was from the heart. keeping Paris weird.
And I like to keep Austin Parisian, you know what I mean? I think our French listeners know which episode this is. I mean, probably only our French listeners, but
just fucking stacking it up on France references before we mention it. I think they're aware. Obviously, it's the monorail episode.
Yeah, seriously. Woo!
Finally, people have been clamoring for it.
Nah, just joking. It's Grapes of Wrath.
The Grapes of Wrath.
I had to go to the library and look up what a crepe was, but I didn't even know. Okay.
I didn't know that a crepe was a pancake, but French.
I'll take it, you know. okay, let me turn this down a little bit.
It's like, can I get this at IHOP, the Rudy Tootie?
That's international, right?
Rudy. Yeah, it's the International House of Pancakes.
It should be in there on one of the pages.
All they do is give you the blue and red glop of syrup to add to your American pancake.
That, when I was a kid, that was the selling point. That was the Ritz-Carlton for me, was to go to IHOP. They put like whipped cream and crazy shit.
Give me this neon-colored blob of jelly.
They got to do it like that in some country. It's international, baby.
Delicious and artesian.
Come on.
Is it artisan?
Small batch pancakes. All right. Yeah.
Craft pancakes. All right, listen, this joke has met its end.
Unless
this episode's just beginning.
Okay, yeah, seriously. Okay. I was gonna go into it more.
Come on, let's hammer it in.
We got stats here, folks. Get your notepads out, scratch pieces of paper. This is season one. Oh my gosh. Episode 11. The production code is 7G13. So if that's on your bingo card, put a little mark on there. Original air date, April 15th, 1990. Oh, my gosh. Very old. Showrunners, check this out. James Brooks, Matt Groening, Sam Simon. And this is written by, oh my gosh, we got like a trove of writers here. George Meyer, Sam Simon, John Swartzwelder, and John Vitti. Directed by two people, Wes Archer and Milton Gray. Don't know who that is, Milton Gray.
Wow, what a hell of a writing team there.
I know, seriously, huh? It's like the Simpsons movie, how there's like a dozen writers on it. Like, it's unusual that it's not just credited for one person. What's up with that?
It's very early Simpsons, so it's cool to see everybody doing it in tandem at the time, right? They're still trying to make this show successful.
Man, and listen, my wife and I, we're going to make a little trip out to your place tomorrow to drop off your little what is it, Christmas box that's still...
Oh, all right.
Which includes the book that I crammed, and it gives insight that I never had into, like, the season one production of the show, and...
So, Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah, your own content.
Hell yes.
Woo! Woo! Come on, folks.
I'm going to rub my face on it like cats do. Put my pheromones on the book again.
It's been a while, folks. This book is thoroughly saturated with my stench at this point.
Yo, this episode started out pretty intense. You mentioned that the writer's room that was attached to this.
Mm-hmm.
And the France references came hot and heavy.
Where do we start? In the Simpsons house?
Yeah, it's Bart telling his frog that he's home.
Oh,
Froggy, I'm home.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay, so yeah, that's foreshadowing. Oh,
yes. Jumping the gun.
Jumping because it's a frog, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I get it now. I wish I had the DJ sound effect.
Oh.
I think it's been overplayed because it's 2021 now.
No, it's okay, folks. Like, I mean, we do have a lot of new things in store for 2021, but it's perfectly acceptable, like, you know, to play the hits, the classics.
Everyone looks forward to new stuff, but also what's old is new again.
There we go. Come on. We're both making some good points.
Yes. I like this kind of circle.
I understand.
All right. Bart's room was dirty as fuck. It reminded me of my room growing up last year.
Yeah. It extended out into the hallway. I mean, this is familiar.
Look at this mess.
I like to do like how the cartoon characters get the whole thing and just like shove it into the closet, and then somebody opens a closet and it all falls on them. That's sort of my strategy growing up.
And as you close it, you're like struggling to close it under the weight of all the shit behind you.
Yeah.
And then you finally close it and you're like hoping that it won't open on you. It's avalanche.
The door is still sort of like bending and bulging off the hinges
crumbling
a little.
Crumbling it.
I knew the door could bend like this.
I feel like I definitely did stuff my closet full of like clothes and other shit just to like get it out of my room. Homer, okay, so Homer fell down the stairs. Oh, wait, no, yes, he did. But before that, the Krusty doll wanted to play with him.
Oh, yeah, the little pull-string Krusty. This is sort of like a Black Mirror thing, right? Because after he falls down the stairs, it just sort of mocks him knowingly for, I guess, what is hours?
Yeah, the dog came, and eventually the doll and the dog and the baby were all sleeping next to him.
And the little cat was curled up there, too. The Krusty doll was, it sounded like that, I don't have to find it. The shitty burned out Krusty sound effect. Yeah, from Bart the Fink, where they think Krusty is dead.
I like that was added. Oops. I like that was added to an actual Krusty doll version. Like, here's the new sound effect.
Yeah. You know, sometimes he had, like, we saw one of his takes in one episode, you know, where he's just doing the cards real quick, like.
Loved it. It's so, like, he's a one, what do they call the one take wonder? It's like, yeah. Let's do this shit. I'm in and I'm out.
You know, people, after, some of the reviews have run after episode 100, we were both called one take wonders for our wonderful cover songs, parody songs, I should
say. People don't understand that we just walked into the recording studio and were inspired then and there to create original songs.
You know how characters in movies, they all know the same song and all know the lyrics? Like, yeah. I didn't write these lyrics down beforehand. I was just, like, improvising.
Yeah. I learned from, like, how Jay-Z does it. And no writtens. It's all off the dome.
It's true. And I learned that from Biggie Smalls. I'm a few months older than Irvin.
Jay-Z's, like, 52.
Yeah. I mean, well, Biggie Smalls is dead, though. So that's even older.
Oh, no. He passed away.
Yeah, that's true. R.I.P. This episode actually is dedicated to him, by the way.
Yeah, and famous French rapper.
And Golden Corral, please.
Notorious is, ends with an X. R.I.O.U.X.
Ooh, that's classy. Hey, and did you know Golden Corral is actually, it's a little bit of trivia, that's a French company. That's why it's golden. Like the Eiffel Tower and the Fleur de Lis, right? That's a thing.
That makes sense. The corral is like the corral of the proletariat.
It's interesting trivia. So, folks, we don't advise that you go to dinner parties in this current environment. Maybe if you're like in one of the cool countries that is finished with the coronavirus. But next time you're at a dinner party, bust that trivia out.
I noticed that Bart had two baseball bats as Marge told him to clean up his room. Well, I guess he's a little boy. Boys have multiple bats.
Yeah, like the aluminum one and the wooden one.
Right? He had two wooden ones, which is very interesting to me. And then he found the cherry bomb.
Very important to him. He had it stowed away in a special little treasure chest. But that was a big deal. He has plans. He has big plans for this cherry bomb.
What's the deal with cherry bombs? I never had this, I guess, in elementary school. Did you know, were you a kid that was blowing shit up like this?
No, and you may be able to hear in the background right now, people are blowing shit up as we're recording this podcast.
It's the cherry bombs.
You know, at some points, I had like little black cats, you know, the little poppers on the strings, that kind of stuff. Like it was always fun to, you know, explode fireworks, firecrackers, but none of this, none of the little like recreational year-round shit.
Yeah, I never had a cherry bomb. Definitely during Christmas time in Mexico, we would have what probably was actually like small dynamite sold at like local stores to kids. But yeah, and my dad would like throw them at us towards us. I was like, this isn't safe.
Like scatter.
Always the adults. Yeah. Hey, this is cool. We saw like Agnes. I don't know if this is the first instance of Agnes, but.
I think so. It
was, she was still like a very old lady, but she wasn't mean yet.
Yeah, sort of like Mrs. Glick that we've seen in these early episodes.
Before she becomes a mean-ass old lady, too.
I know, but yeah, but this is, I mean, Seymour Skinner seems like a little doting son already at this point. He's got the little nickname still at whatever age he is, Spanky. The fact that she's even there in the first place, like, what a weird relationship.
Came to visit him at work, and he has to introduce her to, like, children.
Like, introduce me to your friends, Seymour.
These are his friends.
That's what it sounded like she was going to say.
Yeah. So you're going to flush it?
What can I say? I got a weakness for the classics.
I think I need to make a stop at the little girl's room.
Okay, Mother. This way.
So long, sucker.
Agnes got sent to a lower heaven. Her asshole passed away, I guess, while she was on the toilet. She got a cherry bomb disintegrating her.
Cool visual gag. This is a big disaster. Little Bart's in big trouble. No, none of his friends are backing him up on this one. Not even Lewis or Richard, you know.
He had a little squad back then.
Seriously, he was like the leader like of the little rascals.
Milhouse wasn't yet like a fucking nerd.
I know, seriously. He became, you know how Flanders became like a real extreme version of Flanders? Milhouse became a really extreme version of Milhouse.
Yeah, they're like, all right, let's make them zealots. And this kid, let's make him a fucking, what? A Milhouse is the best way to call it.
Yeah, let's make him Bart's Waylon Smithers.
Yeah, his stooge.
Let's just repeat this dynamic. So, you know, Homer's laying down on the couch. I guess he's not going to work because of his terrible back injury, his trick back, Marge called it. And Skinner comes over for a visit. Homer has his little bell to summon Marge to get her to do things. And he's disrespectful. He's screaming at her every single opportunity.
His grilled cheese squish to go with his high fructose cocktail.
That's true. Hey, that sounds all right, right? A little high fructose cocktail.
Yummy. So Skinner is at the door. He's looking like a fishbowl or something, like some sort of visual from that John Malkovich movie.
Very scary. Like the time Patty saw her kissing Selma, you know, through the little people.
That lens. Mm-hmm.
Very scary. This is early Skinner. We know very little about him, but we can tell he's very stern talking with Homer, and he's, talking with Homer and Marge. And he's so extreme that when he suggests that suspension won't work, nothing's going to work except for deportation. Like, you know, I was like sitting in my chair saying, oh shit, I said that out loud.
Skinner wanted to deport Bart.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
He was being glib. He admitted it. But yeah, the student exchange program, Bart goes to France. Homer was very suspect because Skinner was letting him in on the scheme, right? He normally would... This is a thing available for kids who are on the right track, but they're just trying to get Bart out of school because he...
Yeah.
I guess he made Agnes pass away.
It's like, hear him out, Marge.
He's making a compelling argument.
And then Bart agreed. It was a quick way to like get around like this crazy plot line of getting rid of your kid.
This is, I mean, you know, the jerk-ass Homer, that's, people always gripe about that and all that stuff, but this is pretty crazy that Homer's already sending, he's comfortable sending Bart away to France for just for something that he was laughing at. Like, he had no problem with the cherry bomb in the toilet, and he liked that gag.
Sounds like he had familiarity with it, too. Okay, so then we get a very quick progression into Bart's actual transfer rather quickly.
Oh, yeah, they're already, what, on the runway. The guy is tossing Bart into the plane after he says goodbye to the family.
Bart's smile as he leaves is really funny. I like that animation. It just looked like it was just a still shot of, like, a dumb smile, you know, as Homer was giving him advice. And it made me laugh pretty a lot. And also, like, that fucking airplane. I've never been on an international flight, so... My planes have always been like tiny Southwest Airlines planes. Mm-hmm. So seeing like that giant Airbus with like 48 rows was crazy.
Oh, okay. I wrote that down. I was like, why is the flight so crowded? And then I was like, I wrote down charter flight. Is that something to do with that? Because I didn't know what that was. I guess that's what that is.
I guess it was like, you know, like on those like intercontinental flights are huge.
Damn, I'll be damned. No, I never knew that. And listen, I'm a rube. I live in Texas.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, gosh, I don't know anything about this stuff.
I wonder if I have that goofy looking thing drop on the soundboard.
We have like these fucking backgrounds, but like unrefined Texans. Oh, man. Okay, so we had the flight. Okay, so I'm assuming Bart's frog died while he was gone because we never saw it again in the rest of the series.
Yeah, this is the first and last episode of the frog. I was surprised that we saw Santa's little helper in this episode. You know, like I had completely forgotten that he showed up and
just becomes a token object.
Yeah, I'm already like just providing no help or doing nothing that the dog should be doing or you know, what they would like for it to be doing.
They called him like the savior of Christmas on that first episode or whatever, and now he's just like a non-entity in the household.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we're already in France, and you mentioned that we see the introduction of the albino boy.
A little sparrow. Yeah, he looked like he was getting a lot more respect than Bart was getting in America. He was getting a salute as he was getting on the plane. This seems like an important little quest that Adil's on. And
very suspicious.
Yeah, very, very unusual. Almost like he's a cyborg and this is like a Terminator or something.
Yeah, I was waiting for his arms to melt into metal as he climbed the airplane.
Yeah. Just beams into
the plane.
Beams onto the runway in Springfield.
Yeah. He's Hello. Late for the plane, so he's chasing the plane at like 200 miles an hour.
Frightening.
With that fucking look on his face.
The empty cop look.
Hey, come on. We all love Robert Patrick.
Please, folks. Rewatching this episode, there was apparently a lot of stuff that went over my head when it first showed, which makes sense. I missed a lot of this the first time, but when Bart is finally landing in France, he gets the car at the airport, and it's a little moped, and they're going through the countryside. And what is
cute.
Like, references to something? I didn't understand these little cutscenes.
I was gonna fucking ask you that. So I was like, yo, it's cool that the French countryside looks exactly like all those fucking paintings that like I'd like to go someday, but to tell you which ones they are, I can't. I guess we could look at it, but I'd rather just have the shorties tweet us about it at Eat My Shorts Pod. What are these paintings that they're going through, and all these nude French women?
Bart said ooh la la.
And men.
That's true, folks. Come on. If you are like an impressionism head, tweet at us at Eat My Short Spot or on Instagram, too.
Yeah, that I was very impressed by that.
I think our audience, our remote studio audience, liked that scene, too.
It was a cool little motorcycle with the sidecar. We've always wanted to be in a sidecar. Let's admit that.
Like on Vanderpump, right? The guy, yeah. A little sidecar motorcycle.
Oh, for the Tom Toms.
It'd be funny if we had like just two sidecars with two little motors in them. Yeah.
We both are in a sidecar.
Yeah.
The motorcycle.
Just to be like the Democratic podcast, you know?
Yeah. We don't. Yeah, that's funny. Or I guess we could just both ride the same motorcycle and then have the two sidecars with our cats in it.
That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
It takes up a lot of road space. Come on, folks.
Oh my god, that's like the Airbus, 48 seats. So Bart gets to the airport and he immediately gets flags down the French guy. They go through the countryside and meanwhile his partner is telling the donkey that he got promoted.
They made this donkey look pissed off. Like it was an angry, not nice donkey though.
Yeah, give me the dumb fuck face that donkeys are supposed to have.
Yeah, like they usually have on Simpsons animal faces, you know?
Like, huh?
Yeah, like Binky the rabbit or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Binky Barnes the rabbit.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Adil, meanwhile, he seems to be very nice. You know, he's being respectful with the family. Things look pretty good for the Simpsons and Adil.
So the Frenchies took his shit as soon as he arrived. The donkey was wearing his MAGA hat. And then I guess they were going to sell the rest of his shit.
Cesar and Ugoline. When Bart is trying to defend his belongings, they snarl at him and get him to back off. And back at the Springfield Elementary, Adil is getting a really xenophobic welcome from Principal Skinner, who seems to have a lot of opinions about the backwards countries, you know, like the one that Adil is coming from. Saint
Very Supreme. Patriotic. Well, I guess he's a military guy. It's to be expected from him. Yeah, our backward-ass neighbors throughout the world. I'm sure that's what they think about, and they're right to think that.
Gross, broad characterizations. We don't normally hear this kind of stuff from Principal Skinner. He seems like a nice guy. He didn't seem like the kind of person who would describe Adil's culture as absurd and offensive.
I like that Adil, when he gets on the mic, tells everyone that he's officially supposed to hate America. Required, actually.
He's a good speech giver.
Yeah. What's next?
Is this the... I think, yeah, we're back at the Simpsons house, right? This is the scene where Lisa and Adil are having a little argument. And this is not the kind of argument that she usually has with Bart. This is a different level.
Oh, that was a good argument.
How can you defend a country where 5% of the people control 95% of the world?
I'm defending a country where people can think and act and worship any way they want.
Cannot.
Can too.
Cannot.
Can too.
Please, please, kids, stop fighting. Maybe Lisa's right about America being the land of opportunity, and maybe Adil has a point about the machinery of capitalism being oiled with the blood of the workers.
Your father is right. We should not fight. Friends?
Well, okay.
Well, now that that's settled, I'll just clear the dishes.
No, no, Mrs. Simpson. You have been oppressed enough for today. I will clear the dishes.
No. Okay.
The Albanian was talking shit on capitalism at the dinner table.
And this is an unusually insightful comment from Homer here, too.
Oh, the machinery of capitalism being oiled with the blood of the proletariat. I wonder who you think Sam Simon wrote that?
That sounds like a George Meyer, if I know anything about The Simpsons. So we're getting a sense of the family coming together. There is such warmth and affection between Homer and Adil. And the scenes with Bart and France are in such stark contrast right after, you know, the way that they're just going back to back, juxtaposing Bart's experience and Adil's experience. Bart can't even eat a turnip.
So Maurice looked like he was tired, the little donkey back in France. And then, okay, this is something I wanted to mention. We saw Lenny's office as Adil was getting a tour of the power plant for the first time, I feel. I'd never seen Lenny at his workstation.
Looked like he had a lot of responsibility. That was more complicated than, like, the controls for the spaceships at Star Wars.
Oh, the old 1970s controls where there's, like, 100 buttons of the same thing, and you don't know what one is for what.
Yeah, it's sort of like just, like, elevator buttons, but placed in different spots.
Yeah.
It looked like Adil had some sort of nefarious motives, just taking some secretive photos because he was very evil.
Looked like a voyeur, at least.
Yeah, like he was a real sicko, like
a sleuth. I like that Adil already had his picture up in the master bedroom.
Oh yeah. This is probably Homer, right? Like, he's not wasting any time. And it's also a threat. Like, if Lisa gets out of line or Maggie gets out of line, like, they're going to swap him out for another foreign exchange student.
Everyone will be swapped out at the end. All the dogs, they're going to get, like, a French dog and Mexican cat.
Yeah.
So, one thing I was going to mention is we didn't really see a lot of Bart stuff, right? Like, all his stuff at this point was just more, like, cutaway scenes and showing, like, he's having, like, just being homesick and doing like the grape thing, but it was all felt like transition stuff.
Yeah, we're just getting those little glimpses that serve to show us like Bart is really just hitting rock bottom. He's sleeping on the floor, and you know he's a bad boy, but you know when you're seeing him just on a cement floor curled up because he can't sleep on the hay where the donkey is, like it's sad, you know, like oh shit, he didn't deserve any of this suffering.
Jesus, yeah, for real. It was pretty bad. And then the grape feet was kind of, I mean, it was kind of a funny picture, but yeah, I was like, damn, Bart doesn't deserve this.
Yeah, please. He's a bad boy, but not that bad of a boy.
This episode progressed pretty quickly. I feel like, I mean, they're all 22 or so minutes, but I feel like we got to the end pretty quickly on it.
It is pretty quick, right? I mean, these early episodes, they move at a different pace. You know, they're not as jam-packed as densely with jokes and stuff. There's more just kind of transitional scenes.
It felt like a complete storyline of what they were trying to do with the plot. But, I mean, I definitely remembered the capitalism stuff, the big fight with Lisa.
The big third act crisis here is that this information, the photos that Adil is taking, they're getting transmitted back to Albania. This is clearly for some sort of intel gathering thing. That's his gimmick. Principal Skinner's gimmick is getting the delinquent kid out of his hair. Adil's got a different gimmick. But
being a fucking country spy. Did we get to the antifreeze bit?
So yeah, Bart's been working the harvest this whole time. Just little glimpses of the shitty work that he's doing. Finally, the wine's ready to roll, but these two... I don't want to use this bad language. These two b-holes are conspiring to put antifreeze in the wine. They test it out on Bart.
I wonder if people have ever actually done that, like, to try to sell or profit.
I've always thought that my entire life solely because of this episode. I have no other information on it, but that's why I think that that's a real thing.
Okay, so we see Bart going up to, like, that inspector guy. Looking like a stereotypical French policeman that we see in movies. And he's trying to get his attention because these dudes send him into... After he's all fucked up on the antifreeze and he survived and he didn't go blind, they send him into the, I guess, the city to buy a big supply of it so that they can finish making the wine.
He was trying to get this cop to help him, this French cop, but suddenly it clicks. It's like he's been practicing on Duolingo. I keep mentioning this on the podcast.
How are your lessons going?
Pretty good. I'm in the Sapphire League or something like that, you know.
Whoa, what is that?
It's just I have like an uninterrupted 80 something day streak learning. Shit. Relearning a lot of shit, really. Like fucking 85% of it is relearning.
May I ask what the daily task is?
It's just they take you through like word flashcards and stuff like that. You got to say some stuff. You got to translate some sentences and or they hear some things in Spanish and translate them or read them in Spanish and put them in English. That kind of stuff, you know.
Is it ever like a Conan O'Brien staring contest and they try to psych you out with one of the cards? Like one card's just like a picture of a fuck you middle finger or something.
I wish there was more of that. Because every time there is something where it's like, come on, how the hell did I get this? They wanted this really specific like thing that I'm not familiar with. Okay. And then I never forget it because I get pissed off. It's effective.
I'm pissed, you say that to the app.
Maybe, like, and you know, like the little messages would taunt me, like the little notifications. They would say like, oh, these notifications don't seem to be working on you. Like, that kind of stuff.
The Dennis Needy or whatever from Jurassic Park virus picture comes up and he's like,
Like, I can't even open my phone. Like,
You didn't get the right word.
Time for you to practice Duolingo.
Oh my gosh, this is funny. Yeah. I'm gonna fucking start practicing Duolingos now.
It's pretty cool. If we do want to like do some like for example do a live show in France, we could like practice French.
Okay, I'm gonna start practicing French now.
I started. I'm on like level one of the first lesson.
Hey, I got one thing to say. Vous allez avec un soir, je sois. Who remembers this, huh?
I think we're gonna have to bleep that.
Lady Marmalade.
Actually, you know, don't I run? Aren't I the boss? I don't have to bleep anything anymore.
Yeah, let's check this shit out. Progress. We ain't bleeping shit out.
Please, folks.
My Golden Corral light spot.
Come on. Speaking of Golden Corral, we got some wonderful commercial sponsors coming up. But, the episode is pretty much wraps up when Bart learns how to speak French. Those two guys get busted. SWAT team swarms in on 742 Evergreen Terrace. They're looking for Sparrow. And Homer, they eventually realize it's a deal when they see him dropping his microphone out of the treehouse.
Fucking idiot. whom amongst us hasn't done that as a podcaster, though, huh?
Yeah. I try and edit it out, but, you could still hear us clanging and banging.
Whoa.
Probably should ignore that.
Yeah. What was I gonna say? Oh, I did like the SWAT team. Very 1980s-y, right? Like, this whole plot is very 1980s-y.
Yeah.
So of course they're gonna have like the police cops that can't like are like hot on the tail of somebody in America, and like somehow it's like just pop culture life thing gets involved. Like it's at a mall or something. Like even didn't Stranger Things do that too? Like the Russians were at the mall or some shit.
The like, monsters were at the mall or something. I know the kids worked at the mall, but
they
had
to get like it attached to Orange Julius or something, or like the hot dog pretzel on a stick, and they become the heroes.
It's a good set piece,
man. I miss mall culture, bro.
Yeah,
we were on the edge of that, right, in the 2000s. Like, but I still think it was a thing for us, and I don't know if that's a thing for anybody else now.
Damn, yeah, I wouldn't know what would replace it, especially for people.
Fucking chat room culture, I guess.
Yeah. TikTok, right? That kind of stuff. Participating in some sort of meme or something like that. Like, you're a part of stuff even if you're not, like, able to be there physically.
You're part of us all. Yes. Okay, so, obviously, Sparrow went down. And then Bart's making Newsweek in France. And then he's a big hero. He gets a kiss from that beautiful French girl. Oh my gosh. And it's shaped the heart, made a heart shape on his face.
That's like a Betty Boop cartoon, right?
Yeah. She did the little thing after she kissed him where she's like shy about it.
You're like Mrs. Springfield.
Yeah. It was cool to see Bart be French as fuck when he came back home. He had the baguettes and the little beret. I like that Lisa got a guillotine.
Oh, so yeah, that was my very last note. A cool little inclusion. It turns out, like, when we get to know Lisa a little bit more in later seasons, very appropriate gift.
You figure that she would have been, her and Adele would have agreed on a lot of things.
Well, they were able to have these good discussions in the first place. And in season one, Homer was able to participate to a degree in these conversations.
Homer knew, like, the downfall of capitalism in season one.
He didn't have like 10 beers in front of him comparing women to refrigerators.
And engorging on American cheese until passing out.
Yeah. Protecting amount of sugar in the backyard.
Powering his house's temperature via refrigerator.
Yeah. That doesn't sound too bad.
It's cool in here.
That might work. Okay. It gets hot in Texas, folks. Come on. You got to get creative. Yeah. Listen, we have ratings coming up in a moment, but, like, even more important, there is, like, several bits that are coming up in a second, but, the most important thing, I think, and I hope I'm not overstepping my boundaries by saying I can speak for Irvin and myself, but, the most important thing right now for all of us is this commercial sponsor, right here. So, it's Golden Corral. You're gonna love their food. We suggest you get gift cards for everybody that you know who eats food, which last time I checked is everybody. Stick around, folks. We have more wonderful Eat My Shorts right after this.
The Simpsons will be right back.
How you gonna roll tonight at Golden Corral's Beef Lovers Banquet with our all-new bacon-wrapped flame-grilled sirloin filet, hickory-smoked beef brisket, carved portobello top sirloin, and golden delicious shrimp? Oh, wait! Now that's what I call a strike, baby! Every night at the Beef Lovers Banquet, victory never tastes so great. Golden Corral, your choice. Rules.
Please! This is very demeaning!
I understand.
If it isn't the Sims!
Welcome back to Eat My Shorts, everyone, a international podcast. It's the Notch again. Hello!
I think my mic was off there.
Oh, shit.
Hello, everybody. Irving Castellanos, the other half of Eat My Shorts, the Texas podcast. Welcome you back to this wonderful episode where we covered Grapes of Wrath.
Now, this, you know, we are withholding our ratings to the very end, folks. We insist this is like what it all leads up to, you know. But we do have one very important little feature that we wanted to force everyone to listen to, if that's okay.
You're not done with us yet.
Yeah, please. Folks, we have one more segment. We're begging that you listen to it.
Please.
No, okay, so it's like it's a new year, but you know, if you ask me, 2021, I've had enough. This year, I'm officially done with it, you know? 2021, I'm sorry, but thank you very much.
This rose is not for you.
Yeah, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I miss that show. Is she still around? Oh, isn't Jane something now the new weakest link lady?
Oh, yeah, they did bring it back.
She's the lady famous for the meme of, I'm going to create an environment so toxic. I love that.
She's like the Amy Klobuchar of Hollywood.
Those staplers at people?
Yeah. Like Roger Myers Jr. of The Simpsons.
They should have had Amy Klobuchar defend the Capitol. She was there.
Oh my gosh, folks. Yeah, come on. What we need is like somebody like a Jimmy Stewart type to go out on the steps and give a speech, you know. A Lisa Simpson type.
Where is Charlton Heston when you need him? Can't they reanimate his corpse yet?
So it's a wonderful new year. And listen, we got predictions, all right? Because The Simpsons has been going on for so long. Seasons 1 through 32. A lot, you know, they go on a lot of vacations. There's a lot of international episodes. And we were wondering, what haven't they done at this point? What is in store for The Simpsons season 32? So here's a list, folks. These are our predictions for The Simpsons in 2021. These are season 32 plots. Wait, I didn't even think about how to sell it. Shit.
I mean, you're doing a pretty good job right now.
All right, listen, folks.
Impressionism.
Our season 32 predictions for The Simpsons. So I don't know who's currently on the show, but I know that there's a lot of we got still Al Jean at the helm, right? Show running
your favorite,
The Simpsons.
Your boy,
my boy. So we don't know who's writing what. I didn't get that into the specifics here. But what do we got here? So this is a
Daryl
prediction.
Hammond.
I predict that here's an episode that they're going to do. Quarantine episode, right? It has to happen. We've been living through it, folks. The Simpsons writers, they somebody must have pitched it. Simpsons doesn't do a lot of timely stuff, but you know, maybe they can have like a real quarantine celebrity in on this episode, on popping in on a Zoom call or something. So they're gonna
like
do
Joe
it.
Joe Exotic or who?
Tiger King. Tiger King. It's like super dated.
It's last March. It's already fucking a whole year.
That'd be
right.
Perfect.
They never really do timely stuff as good as like maybe South Park does, because I guess South Park can animate a whole ass episode like in a week. Because they literally just respond like in a week or two. However, I mean, it's already been almost a whole ass year, you know? So like, it's got to be done. You're right. I you got it 100%. There has to be a episode.
So this, my prediction is they're going to be quarantined and looking through old photo albums. You know, it's just going to be a set piece episode like they used to do. And then they're going to be reminiscing about the past. But you know how like you're, like Netflix or whatever, all these like period piece shows are in now.
Yeah.
So they can like reminisce about the, like just set them in the 60s and like just really give the fuck you to the longtime Simpsons fans, you know.
They'll mention Joe Piscopo somehow. Yeah. An emerging Joe Piscopo tweeted something.
An infant Joe Piscopo said like something snappy to his mother.
Yeah.
And your mother and I were like little kids doing the twist in 1960, something like that. Yeah.
Hasn't Homer been retconned into like going to high school in the 2000s now? Some shit like that, or in the 90s?
Pretty much. And then, you know, if you want to do this episode this season, you know, later on in the season, you can set him in the 2000s where he's like emo or something.
That would be dope. Quarantine season. Man, that's such a good topic. I hope to see it. Yeah, honestly, I don't watch much TV, not to be like a cool guy or something. I just don't have fucking TV. Watch all TV through my computer. There, that makes it better.
Yeah.
I do love to watch television, though. There's competing interests here. However, what I was going to say is I think I've noticed on anything that I do pull up, a lot of it is already COVID-related, like the medical shows or like any of the other like dramas have like incorporated coronavirus into their storylines. So it makes sense for it to be on The Simpsons, too.
I haven't seen a lot of that. The only one that that comes to my mind is the South Park one that I saw. It's got to be weird as a, you know, TV show writers to address this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like, do we just set the setting here, or are jokes going to be about this? Because it's kind of a catastrophe. Like, you're right. Like, what's the line you draw? The thin blue line you draw.
But you can, like, I don't predict that The Simpsons is going to be like, let's do a real serious quarantine episode. And like Marge is going to start drinking and Homer's going to eat too much and Bart's going to go down a QAnon rabbit hole. It's not going to be like that, you know. It's going to be like,
we're going to leave that in the Cypress, the Globex Corporation episode.
Yeah.
Where Marge is drinking all the wine.
It's just going to be like, let's just obliquely reference the quarantine and move on, you know.
Maybe that'll be it. Scorpio comes back. That's my prediction.
Oh, he can be the guest star on that one. So what else do we got? What else? What other kind of predictions?
The family discovers that Homer was a closeted MAGA. it'll be, I guess, they'll find like his red hat somewhere in the closet, Bart's cleaning or something, next to all his 8 baseball bats.
Interesting. And so it's like Homer has to be confronted with his own behavior kind of episode.
Yeah, which is like 98% of the episodes.
Bart threatens to leave him.
And as obvious, it'll always be like he's like super oblivious to it. He got administered to going into these meetings because like they had like a free keg of beer or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like somebody at his work or Herman or somebody that he might hang out with.
Yeah, Herman returns and he's like super seedy and like a separatist now.
Okay, so yeah, they're playing a game of poker and like Herman's saying some shit that Homer finds interesting, and next thing you know he's a MAGA head.
And Lenny and Carl, I guess, like maybe they're like on the other spectrum. They're like liberals or something,
trying to
and
get like
a big friend breakup, and Mo can't vote because he's an immigrant.
Oh, that's true. Like they have all these like talks at Mo's, like how do we get him back? And then like Lenny and Carl will go to Marge like, hey, we need your help because Homer's like losing his mind, and then she reveals to them that she's a MAGA head too. That's the twist.
Oh no, because they promised to like change like TV or something and get rid of Itchy and Scratchy and all this other bullshit.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay, so that's a good, I mean, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. What other predictions do you have?
Okay, we're getting political. I have a political prediction here. For our political plot prediction. Lisa becomes an activist and goes on TV. Special guest star AOC.
Oh, I would love that.
You know,
as someone that is a huge AOC simp.
Let's get George Meyer back. Like, we can do, like, what is that episode that Mr. Lisa goes to Washington? Like that, but for the modern Simpsons viewers.
She goes back. This is going to be called Mr. Lisa Goes Back to Washington.
Yeah, and the 2 is the number 2, you know, or the Roman numeral 2.
And it'll look like that Eat My Shorts drawing of the Algerian president holding up the monkey's paw like the Ghostbusters 2 logo.
Yeah.
You'll be sorry. like that one. AOC would be good. I mean, they've already done fucking. I randomly have been watching on Disney Plus like newer episodes because Irwin told me about them.
Cool.
And I watched one with Lady Gaga in it, where like Lisa's self esteem is lowered, and she comes and like boosts her confidence. And it was like all basically 22 minutes just for shilling Lady Gaga jokes, which were great. Changing into bigger and bigger outfits.
Do you remember on episode 100, we were reading that guy's list of most annoying characters, and that was what he said he considered to be the most annoying Simpsons episode.
Oh, he said it was the Lady Gaga one?
Yeah, remember that was like, he said it was the worst Simpsons episode in history. And I'm like, what was even in this episode?
It was okay. It was funny to me. It was just literally like Lady Gaga going from platform shoe to bigger platform shoe to bigger platform shoe as she's like walking through a room.
Okay.
Hey, listen, it's how much brevity, right? But whatever.
Well, you know, I knew this guy. There was something like a bug up his butt. So this like double confirms it for me.
Yeah, it looked like he had some sort of stick up his butt. I think he needs to take heed to the Eat My Shorts advertisement for butt chugging.
You know, it really cleans the system out, folks. We are not just saying this because we're paid sponsors, but we truly believe this stuff. And if you ask me, a butt chugging really does the trick after a whole day at Golden Corral. That's just me.
It's a public service announcement. The more you know.
Yes.
What other predictions do we have?
Let's see. Oh, speaking of Golden Corral, while at Golden Corral, the Simpsons run into the rich Texan who invites the Simpsons to use his ranch home for the weekend for tax purposes. You know, you gotta get the setup out there.
He needs to get another family in there just real quick, and it like helps with his tax.
Yeah, and you know, like how you can get like cattle on a vacant plot of land you own, and like it's suddenly for wildlife or something.
That's why like politicians have like a tiny farm with like a cow. And they get like $1 million subsidy.
Greco Studio will be checking out some of that shit in this current tax year.
Coincidentally, we're moving to a ranch.
Yeah, and you know, maybe we need some more background on the rich Texan, huh? Maybe we haven't gotten around to his story, and now it's time to.
Yeah, what part of Texas is from?
Exactly.
I mean, my money is West Texas, like Midland, Odessa, or something.
I'm thinking Dallas, Texas.
We both go against the other's geographic area.
Yeah, like neither of us want to take responsibility.
Yeah. Let's just say four words.
Like nobody I've ever associated with in my life.
He looks like a Houston kind of guy.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yes.
So this is like the B plot or whatever. So to Lisa's dismay, Homer befriends hillbillies whose presence throws a real wrench or tractor into the works. The hillbillies do something nice for Lisa at the end, so she loves them.
I like it. That's homey. Also, it makes sense. Homer's been a tobacco farmer before, but we haven't seen him go full on hillbilly.
And or befriend hillbillies.
Or have like, we? I don't know.
When he was at the hippie farm, how he became like a hippie guy. That kind of thing, but with hillbillies.
Those were corporate hippies, right? They were down to like blaze, but they were also worried about the bottom line.
That's right. I forgot about that. The other thing I was thinking about this one is, you know how like the Simpsons, like when they were talking about the Apu doing the voice, and Lisa and Marge were complaining about the Simpsons viewers being complainers.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that it would be in that sort of spirit. I could imagine the Simpsons doing an episode like this where they're really trying to raise up the hillbilly, you know, and give them like a PR kind of help, you know,
a push.
Yeah.
To say. And it starts like a new MAGA movement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you so I watched a newer episode, like I said, one of them was like Bart had a love for one of Cletus's daughters.
No way.
I don't know if you've seen that one. Yeah. And she was like, she was super cool. It was cute. And he like goes to look for her because she moves to New York because she becomes like a Broadway actress.
Shit.
When he's like 10, which I don't understand, but you know, whatever.
Like something that would happen in the 20s, yeah. Like or something.
That
like
makes sense. It's some sort of like a Chubby Checker situation. Or who was the guy that was always marrying Jerry Lewis.
Yep, close.
Chubby Checker. Oh, no.
So, you know, that episode right there sounds like it basically distills down what I was proposing in this episode. So that they sounds like they already tackled it, and I missed the boat on that one. Or the tractor.
The tractor. We need more farm. Oh, more rural episodes. Have they done one where they're like fucking planners, like where they think like the world's gonna go crazy and they need to like learn how to hunt and like kill for not for sport but for food? And what are those people called? Like they have like a whole ass shelter full of canned goods,
like survivalists or doomsday preppers.
Survivalists.
I prefer doomsday preppers. I think survivalists, they're trying to like give themselves more, make it sound less crazy. Yeah, that would be something I could see them doing in season 32, but you know, like make it to like focus on Ned Flanders. You know, he seems like a doomsday prepper kind of guy. He's got a bomb shelter,
big bomb shelter. Although it did tear down when that there rock hit it, but I think they rebuilt it stronger than ever. Prediction for 2021 from Irvin Castellanos, co-host Eat My Shorts, the Texas podcast. A true Simpsons Disney crossover where characters somehow from the Disney universe interact with the characters from the Simpsons universe. Probably can't be a canon episode. Maybe it'll be like a Treehouse of Horror episode.
Ooh, scary.
But there would be some sort of either conflict or merging of sorts.
Interesting. I wonder who would be the best Disney character to use in that context, right? Like, who's the scariest Disney property now?
Would they allow Itchy to meet Mickey?
Oh, shit. That'd be fun, huh?
Because Mickey's, like, protected, right? He's, like, the golden child. Like, they don't let him do, like, violence or any of that other shit.
Like, you can't cut off Mickey the Mouse's head.
You can't like pour acid on his mouse head and then like show the mouse skull after, right?
Well, if anybody would get away with it, it would be the Simpsons, right? They haven't done anything sacrilegious to Mickey yet, because some do consider Disney to be religion, you know.
They protect all his like back page gossip too. Like, it's like LA Confidential shit. Like, they'll list anybody that has any info on him.
Or they don't like if an employee tries to raise an issue, that his employee disappears, you know, quotation marks.
If it disappears, they throw him into that lake. you asked a good question provocatively there, though. What Disney characters would interact in this episode? I'm trying to think of who else. There's so many. They own so much. They own Marvel and Star Wars now. Yeah. So Baby Yoda could be in this universe, too.
Scary Baby Yoda.
Crazy Baby Yoda. Thank you for the shout out on episode 100, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That was a cool call-in.
Yeah.
We got so much clout. We got like celebrity listeners now.
I like Crazy Baby Yoda on the latest Eat My Shorts pod art that you threw up on the Instagram handle, too. Him and Maggie together taking over the Star Wars universe.
Star Wars Day.
Still getting wet.
This is some famous Star Wars Day shit, folks. We celebrate it every 4th of every month.
January the 4th be with you.
We'll see you in February, please.
Oh, God, I look forward to it every single 4th.
Yeah, it's an Eat My Shorts tradition.
What's the tradition, double tradition on July 4th?
Like, you know, whatever.
That's the one monthly don't do it.
No, folks, please, you know our stance on America, and you know our stance on yes. July 4th.
I hate America!
It's true.
There's a reason why I'm in exile right now in Leon.
So, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that we start seeing more crossovers like that, because now I think The Simpsons has a lot more freedom and power to play around now. You know, it's all the same catalog.
Well, now you can't get sued, right, for parodying it? I mean, not that they ever would, because they'll change it just enough. But now you can actually just put it in blatantly. Although, there's something to be said for the beautiful bootleg.
It's true, folks. And you really got to give it up for the independent bootleggers in this community, this global community.
Yeah. And you're never going to find us, the beer baron, gimmick baron.
It's true, yeah.
Intellectual property baron.
Hey, this is why it's fun to use a pseudonym. Oof.
I agree with that logic.
No, you won't.
Damn straight, Troy, my man.
Yeah. So many people are after us.
Yeah.
recording artist, cartoonist, corporation.
Just got to keep a low profile here, folks. Like, we're just trying to make an honest podcast. This is the honest podcast.
This is the honesty podcast.
So I have one. This is my one, like, you know, prediction. Season 32. Bart loses a tooth. That's another prediction.
Oh, but like a permanent adult tooth? So he has to do?
Yeah, I don't know. Does a 10-year-old have all their adult teeth yet?
I don't know. With these hormones in the milk now, like, I feel kids get all their adult teeth by like age 4.
I was drinking milk with so many hormones, I grew cow's teeth. Could you believe it?
I got the silver teeth.
Oh, Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, I love all the jokes on like about silver teeth kids because they're like the most badass kids of all. And by badass, I mean like the worst kids, just causing trouble and like hitting their siblings.
It's probably
she's the silver teeth kid.
It's not their fault, you know. I hear that those old fillings, they have mercury in them, and it makes you lose your mind.
Yep.
Those are our predictions for season 32 of The Simpsons. You know, we may have more in the future. Who knows?
Yeah, we're gonna keep predicting things up until the end of the year. It's a good way to start 2021. This is the first episode of 2021 for Eat My Shorts after the big 2020 explosion that was episode 100. If you haven't listened to it already, please go back and listen,
folks. It is the reviews are coming in. We're getting a lot of press, a lot of interview requests, but we're hunkered down for right now. Everyone agrees it's the best one yet.
The investigators wanting to know if we like know stuff, and like we've talked to our lawyers and we've like given our statement on things.
Well, yeah, and from this point forward, we will be communicating on Grackle Studio issues through our lawyers. Our lawyer, we share a lawyer, Cole Battle. He's advising that we don't talk too much about it, but you know, that's business, folks.
He told me that his official professional advice is to quit running my big yapper.
Oh gosh. Yeah, you showed me the legal brief on paper. It was fun to see it printed out.
Then he fell through a table. It was funny.
His pants fell, and I saw his legal briefs. True. Okay, folks, listen. And because it is this time of the year for predictions and like all that kind of stuff, on Patreon, our Patreon podcast, Behind the Laughter, we're going to be taking a look back at 2020, Eat My Shorts, all the wonderful highlights, all of the... Oh, the miserable lows.
Yeah, remote season, baby. Our first remote season ever. Thanks, pandemic. But season 3, we got through it. 2020, we got through it. And look back at our favorite episodes of season 3, 2020, on Patreon. And it starts at only $2 per month. So if you're not a part of the Eat My Shorts universe, the Super Friends, please join us.
It's a lot of fun there, folks. You know, it is Super Friends. Everybody there gets a nickname. It's like a non-violent gang. But although we do have like this violent hazing ritual.
Yeah, there is an initiation, but after that, then it's just a little bit less violent.
And also a violent jumping out ritual too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like whenever it's like, do you wish to cancel your subscription for real? And it leads to like a hit being put out on you. But don't worry about that because you're never going to cancel.
It hasn't happened yet, fortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Listen,
that's a good selling point there.
Okay, there's another podcast recording, like they're banging on the door. They want us to get out of here. Okay, this is the part that everyone loves, the ratings.
Damn. The ratings, they mean a lot to me.
I'm going to center myself and think about this episode as a whole, what it's contributed to The Simpsons and to my life. And I'm going to have to give it 69 cases of antifreeze.
Delicious. I just had to buy antifreeze. I didn't know that you needed to like put it in your car to make the engine not fall apart. But it's also delicious to drink, and wine in moderation. Ask your doctor first, obviously.
Please. Proceed with caution. I'm glad you are now using antifreeze in your car. And the thing with this episode, the thing with antifreeze is the longer you store it, it's like wine. It's like it gets better with age.
Oh, it gets aged. This antifreeze is 20 years old. It'll really protect your engine there. I'm going to give this episode 5 Monets, I believe, from what I'm looking here at my French dictionary. He was the biggest, most famous artist from France, the country, also the continent. So big deal for Creeps of Wrath. Also love the pancakes that he makes. So love to see it. France, we love you.
Thank you very much. 5 You know, it's funny that you say Monet. I've been pronouncing it Monet.
I always run into this issue with like wines. It's like, Brut.
Yeah, come on. And, yeah, and interesting. Like, I used to drink the deodorant Brut.
Yeah,
I didn't know you.
Cabinet de Sauvignon.
I used to eat the Dove soap bars. I didn't know there was two Doves. You know.
You just see suds and bubbles coming out of your mouth.
Capitalism gets confusing for me.
I don't know what we can eat. I mean, it's in packaging.
Yeah, please, folks, just make this easier on me. Don't let make me have to think about it.
This is another reason of why you should just go to Golden Corral and let them do the eating for you.
Thank you, Golden Corral. Yeah, you know, they'll do the serving. You do the swallowing, okay?
Just bite into it and... If it's a plate, then don't eat that. But everything else is fair game. Unless they have, like, edible plates there now.
Oh, that's a good... Hey, Golden Corral, if you're listening, that, you know, you paid us already.
Sure, it's exclusive.
They already paid us, but I hope we get an extra payment for that suggestion right there. Edible plates.
Yeah, I'm sure it's exclusive. If you do it, it has to be licensed, and it has to have our logo on it.
You know these guitars that are, like, double...
They're going to make some money off of that. Okay, patent pending. Nobody steal that, please. Wait... The Cold Battle, if you're listening, we have to have some talks.
We also need the trademark registration.
Please. Okay. At Eat My Shorts Pod, let us know what is like the scariest Disney character that can be in The Simpsons. I don't know.
Yeah. And let us know your predictions of what episodes you're going to see in 2021.
It's true.
On Twitter and on Instagrams.
Oh, yeah. You can see our like Star Wars Day shit. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Shorties. Thank you, Irvin. Thank you, 2021, although I've had enough of you. Keep watching the skis. Woo!
I did see that you retired from 2021 already on Twitter. It's like on January 1st.
I saw that I'm unretiring. No. Wait, we're not... Okay, this isn't the podcast anymore. What I'm going to do is... I'm going to... I was doing it today, but I haven't finished. Put up a change.org petition and then like say that somebody else did it and to get me back on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, is there crazy shit happening or what? Eat my shorts. Yum.